Now, if you'll remember last week's sermon, I always wanted to start that way. Everybody goes, what was that? Clue, it was about John the Baptist. Got that one? What was the third point? Well, that's it. No. The thing is, Presbyterians look at Advent in a number of ways, and they never could understand what's going on. We do the same thing with Lent. We really do. But Christmas is different, and yet, we don't know what to say. It's enough that we think of the manger, and we'll think about it again with the cantata. It's wonderful. But what really is Christmas all about? I said it. John, you said it. Money.
I thought you were talking about sweet little Jesus. No!
Money! It is sweet little Jesus. Boy, the ideal is there, but it's money. Isn't it? Isn't it? You bet your life. Christmas is the economy. Christmas is wonderful. Christmas is great. It's expensive. And everyone talks about what are you going to get for a gift. How's that? Last week, we talked about preparation. John the Baptist trying to prepare his multitude of followers. Now remember, he had a lot of people who thought he was the main man. That he thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the answer to all their problems. And when he said, someone greater than me is coming, blown them out of the tub. True, they weren't ready to hear that. Someone greater than you. And I'm staking everything I have in you. That was last week. The preparation that John was making was overwhelming. It blew people, it blew their minds. Someone greater than John the Baptist. And then when he said that someone greater than me is coming and I can't even really touch his sandals, that in that day was about the biggest humiliation you could possibly give to yourself. True humility. And they weren't ready to hear that, but that was the preparation. And John went about the business of preparing people to understand what the Messiah was all about, what that Messiah that we talk about on Christmas. We're missing the sign when we go to the manger. We forget the cross. The shadow of the cross overwhelms that little manger. It does. Because the sacrifice is really what brings us together here in Jesus Christ. How do you get people to understand what sweet little Jesus boy is all about? How do you get people to understand what this Savior business really means? Open your Bibles, open your tablets, open your phone, whatever. We're going to look at Scripture. This is one that's really there. The 11th chapter of Matthew, the 11 verses, and it's Jesus and John the Baptist. That's what's in your Bible. That's what it says. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples, to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Amen. I told you in the beginning, one of the difficult things really facing we Presbyterians, in the Bible Belt particularly, in the Bible Belt, is our relationship with Jesus Christ. It was this way according to our lesson in Matthew. John was preparing folks like us to accept and follow the Messiah, the new Messiah, the real Messiah. He was preparing them. But the preparation was limited only to the Jews. And the understanding was limited only to Jewish culture and Jewish tradition and Jewish worship. The larger focus for Jesus' ministry wasn't to be seen and understood. How do you really form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, I know you've been asked like I've been asked, do you have a real relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Presbyterians are asked that all the time. What's your answer? What's your answer? Come on. Don't be afraid. You're allowed to talk. What's your answer? Yes! You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ gave Himself for you, each one of you. And you can answer that very quickly to anyone who says this. And believe me, Presbyterian ministers are asked that all the time. A relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what John wanted to get through to these people who were awaiting a Messiah. He wanted them to understand that this new Messiah, this real Messiah that was coming, demanded a personal relationship that didn't have easy answers and didn't have easy solutions. And he wanted them to understand that you are indeed following Christ's anointed one, Christ the anointed one, anointed by God to save your soul and to save all of sinful humanity. This is what John had been trying to get through. And Jesus made atonement or payment of our sins paramount in his discussion. This Jesus Christ was condemned by the Jews. He was by the leadership, really, of the synagogue and the temple. He was condemned by all of the leaders of that day because he was phony, they said. So much to the point that he was crucified by the Romans on a cross. You know the rest of the story. I don't have to go there at all. To free us from the evil of sin. For Presbyterians, past and present, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ makes a difference in life and history. How that relationship, however, is expressed, interpreted, and understood throughout the years of a person's life may vary. And indeed it does. It varies from childhood to adulthood. It changes by the moment. It'll change when you walk out that door this morning. Because when I kick you, you'll know that something's changed. No, I wouldn't do that. But the change is occurring in you the moment you wake up in the morning. There's change going on right now. How many of you are thinking about the soup and wrapping presents? That's it. Be honest. How many of you are thinking about gifts that you forgot to buy? How many of you are thinking about things you forgot to do? How many of you are thinking about 1,001 things that have nothing to do with what I'm saying right now? What was I going to say? Oh, this is what John was concerned about. People being distracted by things and traditions. Not by what was going to be taking place because of Jesus Christ. That's pretty frightening. That's very frightening. And when I look at this text, Jesus knew it was too. Presbyterians like the process of study. They like the process of argument. They like the process of discussing and praying and considering. This is the power of faith inherited, my friends. And it's a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given us. And John had got through to some, not to all. Jesus is saying it here. You're greater than John the Baptist. He's saying you're greater than I am. Because God has given you the freedom to choose, to grow, and to change. In your faith. In your faith. All of us who consider Jesus and God's spiritual work through the Word and through the Spirit, as part of our inheritance and our growing. This is a natural part of our faith. Wonder if we stop considering and reconsidering God and Jesus Christ and trying to put them in new and different forms. Or we try to say our relationship really doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. Someone said to me, "You know, I really don't need to go to church to have a faith." And I said, "That's right." But you know what? The church, with all of its problems, with all of its concerns, with all of its agonies, is where you live out your faith. Because the church means called out, called apart. This is where you get nurtured This is where you get educated. This is where you get challenged. You may not need the church, but the church does need you, and you need the church. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need that fellowship together. That fellowship of sharing. To be honest, it's hard to be a Christian, especially in the sense that it's hard to live like Jesus Christ. It's hard to live this way, loving people who are different, accepting people who are different than you socially, theologically. And yet being open enough to learn how different you are from them. And growing in the change. There was a news report of a church that brought in some folks from Syria. And they set them up in business in a coffee truck to sell coffee and hard and rolls and donuts. Did any of you see it on the news? And how people were flocking for coffee. Not burnt coffee. And one lady said, "You know, it's nice to learn the differences between us." She was African American. "And what makes us the same?" As she drank her coffee. That's what Christ is talking about in this lesson. This is what John had been trying to talk about to his followers. "I'm for change," he said. "And the change is greater than me. Can it be greater with you?" Just think the simplicity of change for Christians. The simplicity is beautiful. Jesus said, "This is bread. It's my body. And it's broken for you. Take it and eat, remembering me." And in that same simplicity, he poured grape juice. He poured wine. And said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you drink the cup and share the bread, you share my body." John knew this was coming. Christ knew this was coming. You know it's here. God, give us your blessing now as we again share the bread and the cup of our Lord, remembering not just salvation and peace, but the atonement you've made for us forever. Bless, we pray, the bread and cup. Set it apart from common to sacred. Bless the setting of the manger in the shadow of the cross for your glory and for our salvation. Amen.